This morning we're looking at Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. The passage is printed in your bulletins. There's also a white insert in your bulletins that have the outline for the sermon. While you're turning to Acts chapter 20, I'll just remind you where we are. We're reading through the book of Acts. We spent a lot of time on Paul's second missionary journey. Last week, we were introduced to Paul's third missionary journey, and if you blink, you miss all of Paul's third missionary journey in the book of Acts. It passes by rather quickly, though not in time, but in the recording of it in the book of Acts. And so this morning, Paul returns to Ephesus, kind of the last step of his third missionary journey. You'll remember he spent 2 years here on his second missionary journey. He's well acquainted with the church in Ephesus, and in this part of Acts chapter 20, he gives this beautiful exhortation to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And so follow along with me as I read aloud from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that the imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down, and he prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul, and they kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you have led us through this service of worship. We thank you for the privilege of confessing our sin, knowing our rebellion, and yet knowing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ obtained with his blood. And so we thank you this morning. We thank you that we can boldly come before your throne. We thank you that we have this great assurance. And we ask as your children, whom you love, we ask that you would use this word and apply it to our hearts, that we might grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might worship you more fully, that we might be molded into the image of Jesus. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for the opportunity to look together at it. We ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do here this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I would imagine that many of you are familiar with the situation that I'm about to describe. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a really good, casual conversation? It's kind of laid back. It's an easy conversation. There's a lot of joking, and it's just casual. It's easy. Maybe it's a conversation you've had with good friends. Maybe a conversation that you've had with family members, but it's just a really relaxing, good time. Have you ever been in the middle of a conversation like that when somebody changes the subject to something very serious? Kind of changes the whole feel of the room. As if they were waiting for the right moment to bring up this very sobering subject. The right moment never came, and so they just dropped a bomb in the middle of the conversation. You ever experienced that? Sometimes it's even kind of awkward because at first you don't realize they're being serious and you continue on maybe in your joke or your conversation and you realize, oh, they were serious. This is actually a big deal. As I said, it changes the whole feel of the room, doesn't it? You see, as we read Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38 this morning, I believe that's what's happening as we are reading in the book of Acts. I believe the whole feel of the room just changed. I believe that this moment is so sobering and serious. It's a change in the tone of everything that we've been reading. As I mentioned earlier, we've been reading now into the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We've been following along the life, events, and ministry of this man, Paul. We have seen him from city to city. We have seen him interacting with Christians from church to church. But we pause here in chapter 20, and we don't follow the narrative, but instead we get an insight into his very personal words to the Ephesian elders. Now, as I said, he had spent more than 2 years with them. He says here 3 years he had spent with them. And so you could imagine that he had come to know them very personally, that he had made many great relationships with the Christians in the church of Ephesus, that he cared very deeply for them. And so he goes into this very, very personal exhortation to the Ephesian elders. This morning, as we look at this text, I just want to answer a few questions together. And the answers are, the questions and the answers are printed in the insert in your bulletin. You can follow along there as we examine the text. But the first question I want to ask is, what is the Apostle Paul speaking about? What is the subject of his exhortation here? I think as he pours his heart out to the Ephesian elders, he's speaking about something very specific. He's speaking about the nature of the local church. What will the church look like in Ephesus? See, it's the same as he's exhorted the church everywhere he's gone. He's talking about the nature of sheep and shepherds. What will the sheep look like? What will the sheep do? What will the shepherds look like? What will the shepherds do? And so as we begin this conversation this morning on Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, let me begin with a very important point. It's obvious here as we look at this text, it's obvious as we look at all that the Apostle Paul has done that it is a biblical necessity for the church to have elders, for there to be elders in the church who care for the well-being of the sheep that have been gathered in the flock of God. So that underlies everything that Paul speaks about this morning. It's very implicit in Paul's understanding in his relationship with each church that he goes to. It's obvious from all of his interactions. You might wonder why I point that out, but I think it's an important point. Why? Because there are many today who don't believe the church needs elders, that the church is fine with one particular pastor. If we hire enough staff, well, the church can be run. Of course it can be run. But the Apostle Paul didn't think that was best for the church. As he exhorted the Christians from each church in each city that he went to, he called them as they were gathered together as a flock, to ordain, to set aside and apart from within their flock elders who would care for the sheep of God. He mentions in this text, not only are they called from among you, but they are appointed by the Holy Spirit. that the Holy Spirit sets aside men to shepherd the flock of God. It's crucial for Paul's understanding of how the church will function. Now, if you're paying attention in this passage, you'll notice the Apostle Paul uses at least four words to describe those pastors, four titles to describe those elders. Beginning in verse 17, he says in verse 17, he went to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and that word for elders is the Greek word presbyteros. It's the word from which we get our English word Presbyterian. We like that word. It's a word that means to be older or to be mature. In this text and as it's used in Scripture, it's a spiritual word. It means a spiritual maturity, that the shepherds of the church ought to have a spiritual maturity, that they ought not be new in their faith. The second word he uses in verse 28, he says there that you are to be overseers and shepherds. Overseers is the Greek word episkopos, which you've probably also heard before, from which we get our English episcopal. It means to judicially rule over, to have an authority over. He also says not only to be overseers, but to be shepherds. Now that, we get our Latin word pastor, from which we get our English word pastor. He says not only will you rule over them, but you'll shepherd them. You will care for the flock. And the final word that the Apostle Paul uses is the word diakonos, translated twice in this passage as minister. He says, I have ministered to you. I call and exhort you to minister to the flock. It's a picture of being a servant. Diakonos, from which we get our English deacon. It means to serve. It's humble. It's lowly. It is selfless. See the picture that the Apostle Paul paints of the shepherd in the church of God? He says, you will be those who are mature in your faith, who will rule over and be accountable to the flock of God, who will shepherd and care for them and serve them selflessly. What a picture of the shepherds who are called to care for the flock, who are called to care for the sheep. It reminds me of this time when we lived in Philadelphia. And when we lived in Philadelphia, at one point we lived in this house and we had a neighbor. Well, of course we had a neighbor, but we had a particular neighbor, and this neighbor, when he found out that I was in seminary, I was going to be a pastor, he began to treat me very differently. And I remember one of the classic ways that he treated me differently, he began to refer to me as a man of the cloth. And that's a phrase I hadn't heard up until that point, but whenever, especially we would have conversations, he always was cursing, and he just cursed a lot. And whenever he would curse after he found out I was going to be a pastor, he would go, "Oop! I forgot you're a man of the cloth. I'm sorry." He apologized to me profusely. Man of the cloth is not a title that's used in Scripture to describe the shepherds of the flock. But these titles that are used here in the text are very appropriate for those who care for the people of God. And so if you're ever wondering, what do we call you? What do we call the elders? You can call us any number of things. As long as they're here in the text, it doesn't matter. Paul exhorts the shepherds to care for the flock. That's the what of this passage. But you see, as we talked about the serious nature of this exhortation, the way it's so deeply personal, how much emotion is invested as Paul exhorts the flock, I believe there's still a question out there as to why. Why is it so personal? Why is it so filled with emotion? I know Paul cares very adamantly about shepherding. I mean, he's jazzed about caring for the flock of God. But there's a why question that needs to be answered, and it can be answered very easily from this passage. Why are the elders to care for the flock? Why should the sheep submit themselves to the elders? Why all of what Paul says here? Well, it's very simple. Look at verse 28. I think verse 28 is the watershed moment of this passage. Everything before it works up to it. Everything after it looks back at it. Verse 28 says this: pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. See, I think that's a crucial moment in Paul's exhortation of the Ephesian elders, because it tells us why everything else, why the shepherds should shepherd, why they should pray for the flock and lead them in teaching and admonition. Why? Because they've been appointed by the Holy Spirit over the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood. Which he has obtained with his own blood. You see, I believe that gives the church an infinitely great value. Think about your value. What are you worth? What are you worth to God? Well, you're just worth the blood of very God that he poured out for you. You see, I hear the Apostle Paul saying to the Ephesian elders, in the grand scheme of all things that have value in the universe, the blood of God is like the epitome of the most valuable thing that you could imagine. See, I hear him saying to the Ephesian elders, guys, listen, it's no big deal. God's called you to a very simple task. It's basically just caring for his most prized possession, the church. That's it. It's all you're being called to here. You think about what the Apostle Paul is saying as he exhorts these Christians. You have been obtained with the blood of Christ. Therefore, shepherds, care for this flock well. Can you imagine how this would change the way many pastors and elders care for their congregations? Can you imagine how this would change the way you interact with other Christians? Can you imagine how this would change the way you deal with conflict with other Christians? If you always saw them as those who are obtained or acquired with the blood of Christ. You see, here's another analogy. It's like Paul took the Ephesian elders and he said, let me take you into the trophy room of God. I just want to show you something. And they walk by all the things which are so valuable to the very God of very God. And Paul takes the elders to the middle of the room, to this beautiful display case, and he says, listen, guys, here's what you're in charge of. It's the church. Care for her well, the most prized possession of the living God. You see, that will define everything else the Apostle Paul says. Because the church has been obtained with the blood of Christ, now I exhort you, shepherds, care for them. I exhort you, pray for them. I exhort you, defend them from the wolves, because they've been obtained with the blood of Christ. That's the why of this passage. It informs everything else we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so we have the what the Apostle Paul exhorts them to. We have the why, the purpose behind his exhortation. But let's talk about the how. The Apostle Paul, as he is exhorting these Ephesian elders, he talks about two different hows, and they're both summarized in verse 28, because he begins in verse 28 by saying, pay careful attention to yourselves, and pay careful attention to all the flock. That's the exhortation here. It's very simple. So let me begin with paying careful attention to yourselves. See, the Apostle Paul, as he speaks to these elders, he says to them, listen, you are caring for the most prized possession of the living God. But let me tell you, if you think that the target on their backs is big, just imagine how big is the target on the backs of the shepherds of the people of God. How large are the temptations? How active is the work of Satan? How easily you may be tempted within the church. You see, the Apostle Paul refers to this very thing in verse 33. He says in verse 33, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, though he could have had it. I imagine he could have. I imagine they had formed a good enough relationship in Ephesus where if Paul had said, listen, I need some gold and silver, they would say, take all you want, Paul. Of course. But he goes on in that passage to say, I didn't take your gold and silver, but I worked with my hands that I might not fall into temptation, but that I might lead you in a lifestyle of serving and of servanthood. And so the elders of the church are exhorted to pay attention to themselves that they might not fall into sin, but they're also exhorted to pay attention to themselves because the shepherds of the flock of God are called to be the pace setters in the church. They're called to be the pace setters. They're called to be the leaders, not just by word, but by example, that the sheep of God might look and see Christ in them. You see, I see the Apostle Paul speaking about that in various ways in this passage. In verse 19, he says of himself that he walked in humility. And I can hear the Apostle Paul saying, listen, I walked in humility among you that you might see how to walk in humility, that you might learn from my example. In verse 24, that he counted his life of no value for the sake of the gospel, that you might see how to live without selfish ambition. In verse 35, it says he knelt and he prayed with them that they might see how to pray for one another. See, the shepherds of the flock are called to pay close attention to themselves, not only because temptation can easily befall them, but because they are called to be examples to the sheep of God. I want to read you a quote from a man named John Brown of Haddington. Now, I would imagine that many of you don't know who he is. He's a Puritan, but he's a lesser-known Puritan. 1700s, a Congregationalist. He hasn't written much that we can read, but he has recorded his farewell address. And I find it to be so applicable here. And so as he's leaving his church, I believe he's about to die, he says this to his church, and I just want to read you a brief part of that. He says, having through the patience and mercy of God, long labored among you, not as I ought, but as I could, I must now leave you to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of my stewardship. You cannot say that I ever appeared to covet any man's silver or gold. You cannot charge me with idling away my devoted time in vain. You cannot pretend that I spared either my body or my mind in the service of your souls. But by the grace of God, I have endeavored, however poorly, to live holily, justly, and unblamedly among you. But I have no confidence in any of these things before God as my judge. I see such weakness, such deficiency, such unfaithfulness, such imprudence, such unfervency and unconcern, such selfishness in all that I've done as a minister or a Christian as richly deserves the deepest damnation of hell. I have no hope of eternal happiness but in Jesus' blood, which cleanseth from all sin according to the riches of his grace. That's a wonderful farewell letter. A beautiful exhortation. I would only say this. I believe that the shepherds of the flock of God are called to live that life. Live a life of service to the sheep of God, but always declaring before you with their words and their actions that it's not their duties and their deeds that justify them. That they have no effect in the economy of God before the eternal throne of the Father, that they depend wholeheartedly upon the grace of the Lord Jesus through his blood. See, in the season of the life of our church, we are ordaining or calling, nominating elders and deacons. We're doing it the whole month of March, right? You go out there into the hallway, that table out there where there's a black box, you can nominate elders and deacons if you're a member of this church. My prayer, and I hope your prayer is the same, is that God is calling up men like that to serve our church, to serve us with their lives dependent upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the next point? The next point is very simple. The Apostle Paul says to the shepherds, not only pay careful attention to yourselves, but pay careful attention to the flock. Pay careful attention to the flock. This is the second part of how the elder is called to shepherd the people of God. And I want to make a few observations here. This is our last point. I want to make a few observations about it. First of all, very important observation, though you may not like this, okay? You are called to be part of a flock. You are called to be part of a flock. And yes, I'm talking about church membership. I'm talking about church membership. You are called to be part of a flock, congregation, a local group of believers, of the people of God. Now, you may say to me, you know, I've heard it said, church membership is not biblical. You may even say that yourself. After all, we don't see the Apostle Paul saying, well, next week in Ephesus, the new members class, right? All the Ephesian Christians come to the new members class. He doesn't have membership vows that they have to assent to or affirm. We don't see those things in the New Testament, but I would say to you something very simple. Everywhere the Apostle Paul goes, every person in that city knows who's a member of that church. The members are so visible and self-identifiable, it's very easy in the church of Corinth and the church of Ephesus and the church of Thessalonica. And let me pose a question to you. Do you honestly believe that the shepherding that Paul is speaking about here is possible apart from being a member of a church? Do you believe that's possible? Do you believe that the elders who are called to shepherd and care for the flock and to exhort and to teach and to rebuke and to defend from wolves and to be active in serving the flock, do you think that they can do that if there's no distinction about who the flock actually is? If it's not clear to them who they're to shepherd? You may say, listen, I don't even remember. I'm always at mercy. They know I'm here. They can distinguish me from someone else. And I'll tell you the truth. Yes, that's helpful in a way to distinguish you from the people who sleep in on Sunday morning, from the people who go grocery shopping on a Sunday morning. But I tell you the truth, as Paul exhorts the elders to shepherd the flock, it can't be done apart from you joining yourself to a church. Apart from you joining yourself to a church, this cannot be done. I would encourage you, if you've been here for a long time, it would be better for you to be a member of some other church than for you to be here unendingly without joining yourself in membership to the church. Here's my encouragement. This is my one plug, and then I'll let it go. 2 weeks ago, we started a new members class, room 105 at 9:15 in the morning. And we're halfway through. We got two more weeks left, okay? If you're sitting here and you're thinking, okay, yeah, I need to become a member of the church. That's important. I would encourage you to join us next Sunday, 9:15 in room 105. And if you're here and you're like, well, I've already been there and there's no room in that room, okay, we'll find another way, okay? There's no chairs left in there, but if we get big enough, we'll move into a different room. Find us in room 105. Make it so that we have to find more chairs. Make it so that we have to find a bigger room. Here's why I believe it's important. Because every member of this church has an elder and a deacon who is their shepherding elder and their shepherding deacon. That elder and that deacon are entrusted with contacting you and caring for you and finding you on Sunday morning and praying for you and challenging you when you need challenged and asking you how your family is and asking you if you have any needs and how we can maybe be merciful to you in your needs. They are keeping you connected to the church. They're shepherding. As the Apostle Paul says, they're paying close attention to the flock. That's being done here, and it's being done here better than any church I've ever been in. And you know what? The elders here and the deacons here hold one another accountable to do that work. I know. I see them every month in their regular meetings asking the questions that need to be asked, holding one another accountable to shepherding the flock. And so seriously, consider joining yourself in membership to a church. Make it, here's a simple argument. If nothing else, make it simple on the elders. Make their job a little bit easier, that they might know you, that they might be able to care for you and to shepherd the flock. What else does it mean, though, paying close attention to the flock of God? The second thing that it means is that the elders defend the flock. You saw it in verse 29, verse 30. Verse 29 says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. The Apostle Paul says that the shepherds of the church are entrusted with defending the church. Defending the church from the attacks of the evil one. You see, because where God is working to gather people to himself, Satan is also working trying to destroy the church. He's also working, trying to destroy the church. As we read about this part of the passage, as Paul mentions the wolves and the false teachers, I think it's important to note here that he identifies them as being among the flock. See, the description here is not of an overt, outward attack. It's from within. It's very covert. It's hard to identify. It creeps up and destroys. It ravages the flock. It leads the people of God away from the gospel. The Apostle Paul doesn't say if the wolves come, if false teachers arrive, but he says when they do, they will be there. That still remains true for the church today. Again, this is one of the reasons that membership is helpful. If you become a member of the church, you sit with elders who hear your understanding of the gospel and your understanding of how the Spirit of God is working out faith in your life. That often is a wonderful time of celebrating together as Christian brothers and sisters. But you know what it's also useful for? The shepherds of the flock of God to discern whether there are wolves trying to enter the flock. To discern whether they truly understand the gospel. Whether they're trying to infiltrate the sheep to lead them astray. And you know what? That doesn't happen often, but sometimes it does happen. Sometimes it does happen. And so the elders of the flock are entrusted with defending the sheep, with defending the sheep. The third thing that paying close attention to the flock means is being active in empathetic prayer. You, as you're reading through this, you might have thought, man, the Apostle Paul mentions his tears like it feels like a dozen times. Feels like he's crying through the whole message, doesn't he? Okay, I think it's actually only two or three times that he says he was speaking in tears or he related to them with tears. But it's very important. See, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the shepherds of the flock to have empathy with the sheep, to care for them, to feel with them, to identify with them. And I love how the Apostle Paul, as you read this, you say, oh, yeah, it's obvious he cares for them. It's obvious that he relates with them. And the most beautiful part about this is the Apostle Paul doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say, well, I had tears and so didn't know what to do with it. I moved on. But it culminates in his prayer in verse 36. His care, his concern for them, his outpouring of emotion, the energy that he's invested into the people he cares so deeply about in Ephesus, it culminates in this prayer. And it says that he went to them and he knelt with them and he prayed. And you get the feeling in verse 36, this is really intimate. This is really personal. One of the things that stands out about that verse there is that it says the Apostle Paul knelt and prayed. That might not be weird to you, but it's really weird to find in the Bible, okay? Because Jews don't kneel to pray. They stand to pray. They always stand to pray. They do that even to this day. They stand to pray. It's a sign of reverence. You might find one other person throughout the whole Old Testament kneeling to pray, but kneeling to pray becomes synonymous with the Christian church. The Apostle Paul does it. Peter later will do it. Jesus himself did it. He knelt to pray. I think that picture is beautiful. Why? Because it's a picture of the Apostle Paul not being above the Ephesian elders, but coming down to meet them, demonstrating humility in his actions, kneeling with them, kneeling before the throne of Christ Jesus, submitting to the authority of the Lord of the universe and saying to the Ephesian elders, I'm no better than you. Humbling himself, being together with them in prayer. And so the elders of the church of God are exhorted with empathy to pray for and with the sheep. To pray with and for the sheep. The last thing that paying close attention to the flock means, we see it in this passage in various ways, that the shepherds of the flock of Christ are called to teach and admonish the sheep. To teach and admonish the sheep. You see, if this isn't happening in the church really isn't functioning as a church. If this isn't happening in the church ceases to be what it's been created to be. We see some rich descriptions of this in this passage. First of all, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. And in verse 27, he says, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Very interesting phrase that he uses there, "for I did not shrink." It's the only time the phrase is used in the book of Acts. It's only like three other times it's used in all of the New Testament. But the phrase is very simple. It means that because of fear, I did not hold back from anything you needed to hear. Because of fear, I did not hold back from anything that you needed to hear from the whole counsel of God. How many churches today, because of fear, cease from proclaiming the whole counsel of God, from teaching and admonishing the sheep, the flock that has been purchased with the blood of Christ? He says that he did it in public and from house to house. In verse 31, he reminds them, "I did not cease to admonish you. I did not stop from correcting you, from rebuking you, from exhorting you, from pointing you to the proper way, from pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't hold back. I didn't allow fear to alter my course, but I faithfully proclaimed the word of God to you." You see, he paid careful attention to the flock, and he gave them a steady diet of the word of God. Right? We're using sheep analogies, aren't we? Sheep need to be fed regularly. The Apostle Paul says to the elders, the regular diet of the sheep is the word of God. They have to be fed the word. Without the word, they'll starve. Without the word, they'll die. And so the shepherds are called to teaching and admonishing the flock. Now, everything we've talked about this morning is terrific. It's a beautiful exhortation from the Apostle Paul. The what, the why, and the how that we've just talked about. The paying careful attention to yourselves. The paying careful attention to the flock. But I believe it's meaningless unless it's rooted in the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. See, there are elders who are amazing teachers. There are elders who are great at admonishing, who lead their sheep, and they're top-notch educators. There are pastors who care deeply for the church, who have great empathy for the people, who pour out their tears for the sake of the church. There are elders who are ready to fight the wolves and defend from the attacks and rebuke the false teachers. There are elders who do all of that, but because they misunderstand the nature of grace, they hurt the sheep. They hurt the flock. See, thankfully, Paul understands grace. Thankfully, the Apostle Paul hinges his whole argument on grace. He says in verse 21 that the content of his message was very simple: repentance towards God and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. Faith and repentance. The gift of God. And in verse 32, he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among the saints. See, the Lord God, in his infinite mercy, has bought you with the precious blood of his Son. You are infinitely valuable to him. Exceedingly, above all things in creation, valuable to our Father God. And in his infinite wisdom, he has called you together and he has appointed shepherds to guard and to care for you, that he might keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before his throne on that great day. Therefore, my prayer, and I hope your prayer is for our church, that God would raise up elders, that God would raise up shepherds from among us who care more for the flock than they care for their own ambition, who know more of Christ crucified than they know of their own sin, and who rely more on his grace than they rely on their own deeds. I hope that you'll be praying for that this month. I hope you'll continue praying for that, not only for the church at large, but especially for our church here, that God would raise up shepherds from among us who would care as he cares for us, who would shepherd the flock well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this passage in Acts chapter 20. We know the Word of God is breathed by you, and it is perfect. And we know that it is good for us for correction and for rebuke and for exhortation and for training us up. We ask, Lord God, that through this passage in Acts 20, that your Spirit would train us, would show us our sin, our failure, our desperate need for you, that your Spirit would work through this passage to point us to the righteousness of Christ Jesus. May we not be a people who seek to justify ourselves by our works, but may we be a people who are dependent upon your grace. And as we rely on your grace, and as we trust in your mercy, and as we claim the blood of Christ as our only hope, may you move us to care for one another. May you move us to see our brothers and sisters in Christ as those who have been obtained with your blood. And Lord, we pray that during this season and in the future, that you would raise up elders and deacons from among us who care. That you would raise up elders who feel called to shepherd, who have demonstrated that in their lives, who will seek to care for your sheep. That you would raise up deacons, Lord, willing to serve, willing to lay down their own agenda for the sake of your kingdom. We pray that you would be doing that work here among us this day and for the many days to come. We thank you. We praise your holy name. It's in that name that we pray. Amen.